The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If all the children would come forward, please. There you go. Good morning. How are you, Miss Mommy? Good morning, guys. Good to see all of y'all. In the gospel story that was just read, it talked about people giving an offering. We give an offering every Sunday morning, don't we? I have my offering envelope right here, ready to go. I even got my offering box for next year, so I'm ready. So what is an offering? Yes, sir? It's something to help, right? An offering is what we call a donation or a contribution. I put my donation into my envelope to help the church. So what does the church do with that offering? Do you know how we spend any of that offering? Are the lights on in church this morning? Is the air conditioner working? That must mean we paid the electric bill, you think? I'm pretty sure we paid the water bill. I haven't been to the bathroom yet, but I sure hope we did. So we use part of our offering to pay for regular things that we need to keep the church going. But we use some of the money for what we call special projects. Terry was just talking about one while ago. We collect money so that we can send boys and girls to camp. That's a good thing. We spend money to help with the program on Wednesday night, FFF. We even send our money off to help other people. But does an offering always have to be money? What else can we donate or contribute? Yes, sir. Actual dollar bills, but I'm pretty sure that's still money. A check, money, your credit card. But what else can we donate besides money? Food, yes, we can donate food, yes, that's a thing, we can donate things. Clothes, yes. Blankets, we're going to talk about those in a minute, yes we are. We can, sir, shelter, yes, we actually have, not that any of us I think help here, but we have organizations that help build houses for other people.
Our time,
yes, yes, we can. How can we donate our time just in church? What can we do that would help God here? Just coming, you're right. By coming to church and Sunday school, that is offering our time. Yes, it is. How can we offer? We can also offer what I call my talents. That means you can do something. What can we do for the church on a Sunday morning? Help out. Y'all, some of y'all are already acolytes. That's helping out. That's giving a talent, you know. I'm not real sure I could get up there and light that candle without something falling over. So the ushers help. There are many ways that we can donate our time and our talent. Now, as Miss Sandra already told us, today the women of the church are putting on the service because it's our thank offering service. The women of the church meet every month. We have a Bible study, and we give an offering. And then at the end of the year, we decide where that offering's going to go. And as Miss Sandra told us, we're giving it part of it to YAM. Does anybody know what YAM is? It's Yorktown Assistance Ministry. And what do we do a lot of times during Advent here? What you said. What did we? Food? We collect food for YAM pretty much every Advent. And we give it to people in Yorktown that don't have enough food to eat, which is a good thing. That's giving of our time and our talents. And then we're also giving to the NALC Disaster Relief Fund. Always got to say that right. And we're going to hear a whole lot more about that. But these people, this organization gives things to people all over the United States. And I'm pretty sure you all heard about the hurricanes that came through in Florida and South Carolina and Tennessee. And a lot of things were sent to these people through the NALC Disaster Relief Fund. A lot of these people lost everything, absolutely everything. And the women of the church have been making quilts all year long. They have been giving of their talent to make these quilts. And that's a pretty nifty talent, don't you think? And that's going to be used to send to somebody that doesn't have a blanket. All their blankets got washed away. And that's a pretty good thing. Okay, God has given us everything that we have. And God gave us one very special thing. What did God give us? He sent somebody to us. He sent Jesus to us. And what did Jesus do for us? He died on the cross for us. He rose again on Easter Sunday. And why did he do that? You got it. To take all of our sins away so we could go to heaven. So God gave us a pretty good offering, didn't he? He gave his son to us. And why did Jesus do that? Our God. Why did God do that? Because he loves us. God would do just about anything for us because he loves us. Because God gives us all that we need, we want to give him an offering of our money, our time, and our talents. Will y'all pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your many blessings. Help us to give ourselves to you and to use all we have to honor and serve you. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for coming up.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for being with us here today. Help us to help others see that no matter what disaster they are facing, that they are not alone. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for inviting Pat and I here to y'all's Thank Offering service today. And I'd like to share some stories of where Pat and I have seen God working through women in disasters. Matthew 17:20-21. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Mary Bates, our national coordinator, has been doing disaster response for about 30 years now. And how she got her start was a tornado had gone through the valley that she lives up there in Ohio. She saw that there was nobody helping the people in their area. So her and a small group of people started working at this house, and the group got a little bigger and bigger and bigger. And it took years to get these people back to some type of normalcy, but it worked. In the process, Luther Social Services heard about Mary and says, hey, we want you to start a program for us. Can you help us start a program? And she said, sure, I'll give y'all a couple years. Well, those couple years turned into a lot of years. In the process, too, there was a group in the community that started HARP, Helping Appalachia Rural People. That was a kind of a shoot-off what Mary kind of started with, and this group broke off, and they started working there. She worked with both groups over the years. Then the NALC got started. Her and Pastor David McGettigan went to the National Church and said, hey, we would like to start a disaster task force. With their blessing of the National Church, they said, sure, go for it. See what you can do. Our first disaster was Hurricane Sandy. David McGettigan was a lead pastor in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The women of the NALC were very instrumental in helping us collect all these supplies, but a lot of them were at that time were working with Lutheran World Relief, so they already kind of knew what to do. And by doing that, we kind of adjusted our type of kit list with the women's groups helping us to what we are doing nowadays. Our first warehouse was in Harp. Harp gave us a low corner of their warehouse, which is probably about the size of y'all's North Decks. We were responding to about two or three disasters a year. Now that we have grown so much, we are responding to two to three a month. With all the connections that Mary Bates has got and all the different religious organizations that are willing to work with us, we were able to go to two to three a month. Mary had that faith to move that mountain with that little mustard seed, starting out with two people, to what we are now. Next story I'd like to talk about is Mary moved the mountain. Now we're going to talk about a lady that our river got her. We call her the toothbrush lady. Sounds funny, but if you hear the story, you'll see the faith that she had in her. So during Hurricane Harvey, in our area of Rosenberg, Richmond, there was about six or seven other organizations handing out supplies. So we did not see no need in doing that locally. What we did was reached out to all the small little communities. That's what the NALC tries to do, is try to help the people that are being underserviced or not serviced at all. One of the churches that we were working with was in West Columbia. It was a non-denominational church. Pat and I, after about 2.5 weeks of collecting all these supplies, getting truck drivers to take it out to all these other places, talking to two or three people at a time on the phone, we finally got to go out and visit some of these places. We went down to West Columbia, met the director, got to talk to her for a little bit. She was very busy, I understand. And so we were standing there watching how things were flowing, and this lady walked up across the parking lot. Someone stopped her and called her by name. I don't remember her name. And says, "Hey, how you doing?" So, "I'm doing pretty good." And he says, "Well, you know, you okay?" "Yeah, I'm staying with, you know, my son or whoever, some family member." He says, "Well, do you need anything?" She says, "No, not really." He says, "They got everything pretty well much at the house. I was going to see if there's anything I could pick up here to kind of supplement what they got." He said, "Well, is there anything else you need?" She says, "No." She reached in her pocket and pulled out two things. One was her toothbrush, and the other one was her Bible. She lost her house that she was raised in most of her life, but she still had her Bible. She still had the faith of God with her. So remember, faith can move mountains, and rivers might take your house, but you still have the faith. John 16:33. "I have told you this so you will have peace by being united to me. The world will make you suffer, but be brave, I have defeated the world." Miss Ambrosia is the lady I'm talking about here. Her and her husband lived close to the Brazos River. They had been flooded twice. Her husband had rebuilt the house both times. The second time, about 3 or 4 months later, he died of cancer. Hurricane Harvey came along a couple years later, flooded her house worse. Family members, volunteers went in, got her house cleaned out and everything, but she couldn't live there. About two or three times a week, she would go by the house and just sit in it, remembering all those stories of raising her kids, her grandkids there, her husband and her. She wanted to go back home, but she couldn't. She couldn't live there. About 2 years later, a year and a half, 2 years later, Mary called me up and said, "Michael, I got another crew that wants to come to Texas and help." I said, "Mary, you're really, I'm getting tired. I need to break." She says, "Just do one more." I said, "Okay." So we had a group of five people, a pastor, a plumber, and college-age youth, and then myself. It's like, well, okay. I met with the family. The idea was is to get the house insulated a little more than what it was, get her a bedroom set up, get her a bathroom set up, and fix her a kitchen to where she would have a functioning kitchen. In a week's time, I'm working with those six, those five youth, or those three youth, and that pastor and that plumber and myself, we were able to move Ambrosia back into her house. Friday night, we had the blessing of the house. She wrote a letter. She spoke Spanish. She had it written in Spanish. We have a copy of the letter out in the North. If you get a chance, read it. It's translated to English. It's really touching. She was brave. She knows she suffered. God made her suffer, but she was brave to believe in God that she got to move back into her house. Galatians 5:13b. Serve each other through love. See the quilts up here? This story is about quilts. Y'all remember the big polar freeze that came into Texas here a couple years ago? Yeah, it was cold. So, you know, everybody was affected. Pat and I were affected too. After a couple of days, we called around, made sure all the church members were okay. We saw there was no need immediately that we needed to respond to. We were up at church a couple of days later and was talking to our church secretary. Checked with her, how are you doing? She says, I'm doing pretty good. My family's okay and everything. She says, but the community I live in, lower income, a lot of elderly people, they are having a hard time trying to stay warm. I said, would quilts work? She said, yeah, can we have some quilts? I said, sure. So we loaded up her car that night with quilts. She took and drove around in her community, was handing out to the quilts so that she knew where people were having a hard time. She would walk into the house and give them a quilt, and they say, how much is it? No, there's no cost to these quilts. These quilts are made with love. Every stitch, you women or you men, whoever do it, into those quilts, you are doing God's work. You are spreading the love of God. She said those people had tears in their eyes. Saw all these beautiful quilts that were being just given out to people to help in time of need. So remember, serve God through love. 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 3-6. Now there are a variety of gifts, but of the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but of the same Lord. And there are a variety of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all and everyone. The variety of gifts, service, and work. As I said earlier, when we started out disaster response, we only had a small little warehouse to work out of. So what was happening a lot whenever a disaster happened that we knew Mary was responding to or we were trying to ship stuff to, we would call Mary up and she would give us an address to send the stuff to. Pat and I were collecting stuff at our house, quilts, baby supplies, work gloves, Bibles, whatever. And so we would take and mail these stuff to these people. Some of them in North Charleston, South Carolina was one of them. The other one that I'm talking about here was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Y'all remember that fire that went through Dolly World and all that? So we sent supplies to that. About 2 months later, we got a handwritten note. It's back there. Look at it. From a college-age student from Knoxville that wanted to go help do work. She was not affected by the fire. None of her family or friends were affected by the fire, but she wanted to help. She wanted to do something. So she was working in a warehouse where all these supplies come in and had to be organized, separated, unpacked, moved to here and there, and then people would come in and who needed help could go through and she would help pick up the stuff that they needed. She read our note in there and she could not believe there was people from Texas that it would send their gifts to help people like this. So she started telling people this, that we are spreading God's love. But it's not just stuff, it's everybody can do this. The wheelchair lady. We have a member in Joy Lutheran Church there in Richmond. They asked us to help during their rally day. They wanted to make health kits. I said, cool. So I figured it'd be like school age kids, from kindergarten to 70, 80 year olds. Like, okay, we can make this work somehow. So we got there, church service, had everything set up during Sunday school time. Things were going good. About halfway through, a lady came in a wheelchair, wheeled herself in, kind of parked back out of the way. Somebody called her over and said, hey, Miss So-and-so, come help us. And she said, oh, no, I don't want to get in the way. Y'all are doing a great job. No, come here and help us. So they wheeled her over at a table where they were working on stuff. She felt the love of God. Still, she was in a wheelchair, but she was still able to do God's work. Another lady we talk about is the sticker lady. We're Christian-based. We like spreading the word of God. We'll sit there and pray with people. When our sticker lady, she likes putting stickers on everything. You know, God loves you. Peace be with you. Whatever it is. So when we're working in the warehouse, what we do is we always try to set up a spot to where she can sit there and put her stickers on. Is she doing God's work? Yes. So on the gospel today, the lady who gave the two copper coins. I had this message in my Bible, in my message already today. And it's about a lady at our church, elderly widow lady. And she knew what we were doing, but she could not really do much. So one day she called us out at the warehouse, and she came up to me and handed me a $20 bill. She says, "Michael, this is all I can afford to do, but I want to try to help." Was she doing God's work? Her gift of $20 helped? Yes. Everything helps. Now, just recently, everybody heard about the hurricane that came through Florida, South Carolina, up to North Carolina. We are not working in Nashville itself, but we're working in all those little small communities around Asheville. And one of our trucks came in, a 26-foot box truck came in with a bunch of supplies. If you ever seen this before or worked on it before, it looks very chaotic. You got people running this way, you got people going that way, you got heavy stuff coming off, you're trying to get this stuff organized and everything. There was a 2-year-old girl that was affected from the flooding, and she wanted to help. They just kept picking her up, moving her out of the way. Pick her up, sit her in a chair. Stay over there. You can't do this. Finally, one of the guys in the truck grabbed a box of diapers, went up and set it right there on the edge of the truck. That little girl ran up and grabbed that box of diapers. I'm helping. Think about it. Mary Bates, our national coordinators, 30 years, and the 2-year-old girl. Both of them are working with God. So remember, the Spirit is in everyone, no matter your age, no matter what you can do. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for giving us the gifts to us in the service of others. In your name we pray. Amen.